All right then. Okay. Wow. All right. So I've got a word I want to bring that actually I got it whilst I was here. Do you know what it's like when God speaks to you, even in the meeting, in the middle of the worship, and you go, what are you telling me? And I got a kind of a message that I've been dwelling over for weeks, maybe months now. And now I've got an opportunity to share it with you. So I hope it's up to the level of my expectation. Does that make sense? You know, I was kind of hoping for something, and I just don't know where it's gonna get there. But that's what I've had, and it's like been bubbling inside. And I think, yeah, do I not? And now I've got a chance, so I'm going to share it, and hopefully it'll bring something out that'll be of use to, well, at least somebody in the room. But I'm going to enjoy it anyway, so let's go. Right, I'm talking about a strong tower. I don't know if you realise, but a lot of our songs, so a lot of the modern songs even, they start to talk about how God is a strong tower, a refuge of strength, a fortress, a stronghold. Now, everybody's trying to rack their brains going, oh, what song was... Oh, there's that one, isn't there? Yes, or there's this one. There was one that we were doing that particular Sunday that mentioned it. I'd not heard it before. I can't remember it. I don't know what the style of the song goes. But it did have something about God's being a strength and a strong tower, and it kind of triggered something. You know, even the songs that we teach our children talk about this idea of God being a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe, saved. Interesting. It's actually taken from Proverbs 18, verse 10, and in their NIV anyway, it says safe. But I've always said it as saved. I don't know, you know, which does it matter? Doesn't matter. But yeah, you know, the righteous run into it and they are saved. So what is this strong tower? What is it that we're talking about? Well, you know, we're singing about it. We're getting involved with it. We're relating to it and saying, yes, but what is it? What's he talking about? What does he mean? Have you thought about it? Do you mind? Do you care? Are you interested? Vaguely. When we look in the Psalms, there's multiple references to God being a strong tower. I just want to pick up two. I'm going to pick it up in different versions because I just wanted to make it a bit more rounded, if I can. So I'll start with the NIV. In Psalm 91, right at the very beginning, it says, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the... whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I like to read the New English Translation. So when I'm looking for something like the NIV, which was well-structured and thought out in terms of it, the New English Translation tried to do exactly the same sort of thing, and a bit more modern. It's now getting old. Wow. As for you, the one who lives in the shelter of the Sovereign One and resides in the protective shadow of the Mighty King, I say this about the Lord, my shelter and my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. But most of the time now, I tend to read the Message. And I know it's a paraphrase. And I know I shouldn't really be preaching from the Message. But hey, I get fresh revelation every time I read it. So I read it. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. Same passage. But for me, you know, it brings something fresh. Psalm 61 also talks about this idea of a tower, a refuge. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. That's the NIV. Lead me up to a rocky summit where I can be safe. Indeed, you are my shelter, a strong tower that protects me from the enemy. I will be a permanent guest in your home. I will find shelter in the protection of your wings. And then the message comes in again and brings fresh revelation. I call out, guide me up High Rock Mountain. You've always given me breathing room, a place to get away from it all, a lifetime pass to your safe house, an open invitation as your guest. So, you know, we could just sit there in the scriptures and just enjoy what it is that God's trying to share through it. And like I said, there are many other passages. In a lot of the Psalms, you get this idea of a strong tower. But I'm still trying to grasp, what is a strong tower? What is it that we're talking about? I think we're influenced by our culture, by our education, by what we read or even see on the television. And the first thing that jumps to my mind is a castle keep. So, you know, you've got the castle walls. In the centre of the castle is this tower, and that's like the last place of refuge. Now, when the enemy closes in, this strong tower becomes that last safe place to run to. It's a strong tower, and it's meant to be secure against the enemy. Do you get the picture? You probably have had a similar cultural experience. Maybe learnt about it in school. So you run inside, the whole village runs inside, the doors are locked, tight and secure, you can't get in from the outside, and inside there are provisions. Something to try and sustain you while the enemy's outside to keep you. Yeah? And there may be also some weapons to defend against the enemy's attack. That's interesting. What sort of things? Well, there might be oil that you can set fire to and pour on their heads. That could be useful when the enemy is attacking and the only place they can attack is down below. Pour burning oil on their heads. Or that they have like narrow-shaped slot windows to fire arrows out of so you can get the enemy and they can't get you. So that's my first thought. Of a strong tower. But you know, that sort of strong tower comes with a few difficulties. For example, it's only when the enemy's really there and attacking you, you go there as a last point of call. You know? And it's like, I'm running away, but I'm hoping to stand in that time. And you're kind of stuck. So I'm not quite sure that's what's meant. And I think even scripture helps us to realise it's not necessarily the best type of thing. I don't know, do you read the Old Testament, anybody? Yes. In Judges, we get these wonderful stories about what was happening in early Israel. And Judges 9 is quite fascinating. There's a guy, Abimelech, who decides he wants to be king. So they've got this kind of ruling system where, you know, we're judging the nation. And at the time, there's him, one amongst 70 brothers, that are ruling Israel. And he says to his brothers, ask the people, would you sooner be ruled by one person or by 70 of us? And I think it was a trick for his brothers. Because the brothers are going, hey, we don't have to do anything. If he's going to do it all, So they all came back and said, yeah, they want one ruler, that'd be great. So he kills them all. What? he slaughters his brothers. I think one got away. And he decided to be king. It's weird, isn't it? And anybody who came up against him, he just beat him up. Physically. Literally. And there's a couple of towers towards the end. One of them, when they all run into the tower, he chops down a bit of tree and says to all his men, do the same, come on, we'll just burn the thing. And he burns down the tower and kills the lot. That's making me think now this strong tower isn't that. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Yeah? That's maybe not the strong tower I'm wanting to run into. By verse 50, he comes up against another tower. Next, Abimelech went to Thebes and besieged it and captured it. And inside the city, however, was a strong tower to which all the men and women, all the people of the city, had fled. That's what he said we should do. They had locked themselves in and climbed up to the tower roof. Abimelech went to the tower and attacked it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, like he did with the previous tower, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Wow. Oh, they're pretty big, aren't they? Hurriedly, he called to his armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me so they can't say a woman killed him. His pride, even at that moment, even when he's dying, his pride is in the... So his servant ran him through. And he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they went home. What are we reading? What's going on here? You know, the Israelites are strange people. Oh, he's dead, let's go. Anybody else is still in the tower going... is that it? Is it over? Who's going to be king now? Weird, isn't it? Weird. So, yeah, do read Judges. See some strange things going on there. So I'm not sure that's the sort of tower that we're talking about, because, you know, it's a bit risky. It's a bit on the edge. And, when we were on holiday for our wedding anniversary, 1 year, wasn't this year, we visited the Isle of Man. I don't know if anybody's been to the Isle of Man. There's no speed limits, so if you like driving fast, but only outside of the towns. But anyway, in the Isle of Man, in Douglas Bay, there's a tower of refuge. It looks like a giant sandcastle. It's pretty cool, actually. I was thinking about showing a picture, but... I didn't, because I thought that just having that in the background all the time would be a bit strange. But there's this tower, and we got a nice photograph from our, was it from a hotel window? With the rainbow over the top of it, and like, oh, the promises of God, the Tower of Refuge, oh, this is all great. This place, it's built on a rocky outcrop that's in the bay. And many, many years ago, there was this huge storm and a boat was trying to get in and it couldn't get in. And the lifeboat went out and the lifeboat got smashed to pieces as well. And it's like, we can't really, you know, when there's a strong storm, we can't do anything. They can't get into safety and we can't go out to rescue them. So they built this tower there on the rocks so that you can moor up against that and you can go to the tower as a place of refuge while it's the storm. And inside is dry biscuits and barreled water, so you can survive till the storm's gone. And when the waters subside, you'd be safe. So that sounds a bit more like what it could be. You know, that sounds a bit better. At least it's there with a purpose, and it works. and you've got something to keep you. So, is God the same? So when the going gets tough, when it gets too tough, is that the time to run to him? To find shelter? To find refuge? Is it only when the enemy is at the door, pushing to get in, that we need his salvation? Now, in those times, and there will be times like that, there is for most of us, yes, God is there for you. But I think there's more on offer. Don't you? His dwelling place, rather than being a tower, it's a place with many rooms. Yeah? He goes to prepare a room for us in this place. It's like a stately home. You know, have you been on one of these stately home places where you look and it's got, we have 81 bedrooms, and you think, but there's only four of you. What do you do with them? Do you have a different one every night? What's going on? But he's king. No, he's king of kings. He's not just going to have a stately home. They're for the minions. He'd have a palace. Yeah, it would be a pretty amazing palace. Now, we had the privilege, was it last year? Of attending a royal garden party at Buckingham Palace. I don't think everybody gets to go, but if you ever get an invite, go. Yeah, it is special, and it is a privilege. And you get dressed up, and you want to experience something that you probably never get to experience again in your lifetime. So you get to walk through the courtyard of Buckingham Palace. So we only see the front, don't we? Now you see this, and you could recognise Buckingham Palace on a postcard or something else. You know what it looks like. But you walk through a courtyard, it's a square. It's not a front. And you get to see the other side of the palace. You're in their garden, and you're looking back, and it's probably more magnificent from the back than it is from the front. And you've just been through that. And you get to sit in the garden. You get to walk around the garden. It's a privilege. Food was laid on. I mean, it was a garden party. Look, the whole place is clearly opulent, magnificent. And this is just an earthly palace. Can you imagine how much more a heavenly one would be like that? The food that was laid on, it tasted divine. You wouldn't expect anything less, would you? You know, the service was excellent, and everyone was catered for. You know, you got hundreds of people, and it was super efficient. They knew exactly what they were doing. Everybody seemed to know what they were doing. You get go that, and you just took what you wanted. I was talking to Jane about this on the way in. It was really weird. We didn't have a huge plate, but I didn't feel hungry. And I can't quite understand. I mean, I'm thinking back of it going, but that wasn't enough. I would normally eat more than that. But there were, you know, a few little sandwiches, little pastry things, loads of little cakey things, even the chocolate cake. Individual little chocolate cakes with a crown on the top. It was gorgeous. And we didn't go back for seconds. We could. We're saying, you know, there were many stations, you know, could have gone to any of them. They would never know. He could have gone back as many times. We didn't feel like we wanted to. It was more than enough. Just his little plate. It's weird. But it wasn't mere dry biscuits and barreled water. You know, even though it was sandwiches and cake, it was more like a feast. Isn't that perhaps a bit more like what you'd expect from God? So maybe his strong tower is more like a palace than it is a last resort refuge. Now, among the guests, there was one, the host, who stood out from the others, for he was royalty. So we didn't get the queen. She was off doing something else. But we got one of the princes. And when he arrived, the yeomen of the guard cleared a way for him. And they led him through the onlookers. He didn't queue for food. Food was brought to him. And at his command, those who serve would serve his every need. Now, he was clearly different from the rest of us. In God's palace, Jesus is the host. You know, and I'm sure everyone is looking to get a glimpse of him, just like they did with the prince who hosted our garden party. You know, it has that effect, doesn't it? Royalty's passing by. You want to see. You want to get part of what's going on there. In God's palace, all are welcome. There isn't anybody that's excluded. You can come anytime, day or night, and there's always good things in store. Are you with me? Can you see that? Does it make sense? Yeah, I believe there's still more. We're not invited as paying guests into God's palace. We're not even invited as guests on a free pass. No, we're invited as part of the family. You realise that? We're co-heirs, brothers and sisters in Christ. We enjoy the same service and experience that same power of command. All that is available to Jesus is made available to us. Wow. Wow. So when we started, we were looking at this place to run away to when the going got tough. Too tough. Now we're talking about being part of his family in his palace with all the privileges of Jesus at our fingertips. I'm starting to feel that's maybe more what he means when he's a strong tower that we might run into. You see, as a family, we too are considered royalty. We take on the family name. So as God is respected, so are we. As God is honored, so are we. As God is served at his table, then so are we. You know, this is what Christ's sacrifice has given us. Once orphans, we're now sons and daughters of a living God. Oh, hallelujah. It's a different place, isn't it? It's a mighty place. And if we go back to that passage in Proverbs 18:10, it was the name of the Lord that was the strong tower. It wasn't just the Lord is the strong tower. It's the name of the Lord was the strong tower. The strong tower is his name. It's his family name. It's the royalty that we're talking about. That name is a strong tower. It's his name that the righteous run into. His family. His royal household. It is his name and everything that goes with it that he calls us to. I just want to touch on the fear of the Lord here. I don't know if you were able to catch Jane's sermon last week. We hadn't planned to do back-to-back sermons. It's just ended up that way. But Jane last week did mention about the fear of the Lord. And if you didn't get to see it, if you missed it, it should be online, available online Already? Wow. So, you know, go there, have a look, find out more about the fear of the Lord. But what we were touching on was how God is awesome. And how that word's been corrupted over into modern times. But not really awesome. And she shared that the service was awful. So if you're now a bit worried, you need to go and listen to find out what that's all about. So God is awesome, completely awesome. And he commands a mighty army. Yet, even his breath would be enough to destroy mountains. That's how awesome he really is. Who can stand in his presence? Do you get that? Can you sense that? Can you even picture that? Because, you know, it's so hard for us to get a grasp of what fully awesome might be, or even how big he is compared to the universe. He's awesome. Who can stand in his presence? Would you dare to attack an earthly king? Just imagine for a moment, someone's trying to attack the Queen in Buckingham Palace. They've checked the flags up, so we know she's in. We're going to go for it, full frontal attack. Now, you've got to get beyond the armed police. That's your first barrier. And armed guard. You know, there were soldiers there as well. Wow. Just because royalty was present. If you did get past them, assuming somehow you could, within a few minutes, the horse guard and the queen's guard will be there before you. They're scary. No, they're not just soldiers. They're special soldiers. And they will take you out. But even if you could get past those, the whole might of the army, the Royal Air Force, even the Navy, not sure what they do at Buckingham Palace, even the Navy would deny you progress. You come against the king, you come against the queen, they'll throw everything they've got at you. And it's not just you. Yeah? Not only would the individual become the target, but who they represented. It would be like an act of war. Nation, perhaps, would go up against nation just because someone was brazen enough to try and attack the queen. Do you think that's true? Yeah? Does that sound sensible? I don't know if it does sound sensible, but nobody would they? No one would be foolish enough to try and attempt that sort of attack against the queen. Now, if that's what it would be like from an earthly perspective, how much more severe would the consequences be if it came against the King of Kings? Be no nonsense. Swift action. All-encompassing. Over and done within a moment. The whole might of heaven against you. I can almost see now why Lucifer sought permission before he tested Job. Before he tested Peter. Because you don't want to do it without that permission. Interesting. Okay, so who in the right mind would touch the Lord's anointed? Because they've got the same name, the same authority, the same power as the King of Kings. You know, I think David had that right idea. Even when faced with the opportunity to take out Saul, he knew the consequences were too severe to try. You shouldn't touch the Lord's anointed, even if he's doing stuff wrong. Interesting. So I don't think this applies just to the king. It applies even in an earthly way of looking at it. You know, with our royal family, it's not just the queen who's protected against attack. It's anyone who bears the name of the royal family, isn't it? So the princes, they're secure in it. They're secure in the name. It's because they hold the name that you don't attack the princes either. And husbands and wives are covered by association. And the children are protected because of the name. And even when they're out on diplomatic or ambassadorial duties, the full protection of the royal name is present wherever they go, any nation, any place. They don't have an entourage like the president does, where, you know, there's 50 guards surrounding them at all times. They're protected by the name. Because you wouldn't touch him. Because if you do, the consequences are huge. Does that make sense? So I believe that same extension is available to all who call on his name, that have become part of the royal line, so that when we go out on diplomatic or ambassadorial duties for the King of Kings, we are supported with the same mighty force covering our backs. We can have the full palace experience whenever or wherever we go for him. That's the relationship that he has for us. All right, so I want to sum up. Where have we been on this little palace journey? God and his name is a strong tower, a tower of refuge. Yes? You don't have to wait until the enemy is at your door. You can run into him at any time. So if you're waiting for an opportunity to be in his presence, don't. Just go for it. You're welcome anytime. If you only wait until it's desperate, yes, he'll still be there for you. Yes, still in his fullness. But anytime, run to him. It's not just a safe haven when things get tough, but a palace with a choice feast where you're more than a guest. Your family. You receive the same rights, the same respect, and the same service. And as you take on his name, becoming part of the royal line, acting on his behalf here on earth, serving him through what he calls on you to do, you too are covered by the full force, the full might, and the full protection that is offered to the King of Kings. So, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Amen.